Let's just let the musicians play for a little bit. Let's just, if we can, without feeling too uncomfortable, let's meditate on the Lord for just a moment. Let the Holy Ghost minister to us. Take a moment. Let's just be quiet before the Lord for a second or two. Praise God. Can be seated. Sometimes, especially if you're working until 4 or 5 o'clock, you're rushing to get here and to be in church on time, and just being quiet is a gift, I think, a blessing. Amen. I almost always have a radio on or music playing or something, and just to be quiet. Hallelujah. We want to welcome you, if you're, especially if you're a guest of ours this evening or online. We're glad that you're with us. If you are a guest, we encourage you to fill out a connection card. Just a few points of interest that we can reach out to you and show you our appreciation. And if you turn it in to the ushers or turn it in at the kiosk out in the vestibule, we have a small gift for you to show our appreciation. Online, you can do that at the bit.ly link that's there on the screen. And you can follow up, and we will certainly look forward to getting in touch with you to show you our appreciation. Also, we want to make you aware of the giving options. You can give in the offering box that's out in the kiosk also. You can mail in your offering. You can go to our website and there give at cgcmadison.org. All the information is there on the screen. Or you can give through our church app, the Church Center app. And I would encourage you, if you want to be in touch with Calvary Gospel Church, or especially if you're involved in a ministry, to download that app at your next convenience. It really facilitates communication and lets people know what's going on here at Calvary Gospel Church, but also allows you to connect with other people. So please consider that option. Amen. This Sunday at 1 o'clock is Dia de los Niños. Pastor Fabian is here tonight. Would you stand, Pastor Fabian Martinez? Amen. And Voces Unidas extends an invitation for everyone to join them for the annual Sunday that focuses on the kids. It usually is the biggest service of the year for Voces, and with a lot of guests, a lot of fellowship. They have games and food and fellowship afterwards. It's a great time. If you have never been in a service with Voces Unidas, that's an excellent time to do it. Many children and adults have been filled with the Holy Ghost on Dia de los Niños in those services, so praise God. If nothing else, please pray for that service coming up on this Sunday. It's a very important day for Voces Unidas. There'll be food and games afterwards, and everyone's welcome to join. So praise God. Keep that in mind, this Sunday coming up. And then next week, Friday, May 6th, is our all-church prayer meeting. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, we'd like to encourage you to stand at this time. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Just the sweet presence of God here tonight. I'm so grateful that God has made it possible for me to experience His presence, and I'm sure you feel the same way. This is the time of year in 1980 when I was making a decision on whether or not I was going to get baptized in Jesus' name. And whether or not I wanted to take this all seriously, God was dealing with my heart. And on May 1st, 1980, I was baptized in Jesus' name. And on May 10th, I was filled with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And just something about this time of year stirs my spirit, because I remember just how hungry I was and how much I needed God. Amen. Praise God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer right now and ask Him to have His way. Jesus, we love You. We know, oh God, that You are alive and that You're real, and that we don't have to do anything but submit to Your presence, to repent and ask for Your blessing, to seek Your face. All we need to do is call on the name of Jesus, and we know that You are with us. In Jesus' name, I pray, God, have Your way in this service tonight, that everyone who experiences this here in the house and online, and even at a later date, Lord God, that the power and the presence of Your Spirit would be manifest, and that the Word of God would be anointed in our hearts and minds. We know, oh God, that Your Word is true, and it's powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. But I pray, oh God, for anoint our ears and our hearts to receive it. Have Your way, oh God. In Jesus' name, Lord, we believe that You are a healing God, and we ask that You release Your healing virtue, even in this place tonight, that there will be miracles and signs and wonders, not because of who we are, but because of who You are and because of what You want to do in this city. We call on the name of Jesus Christ and ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Let's worship Him.
Victory, we give You praise.
God. We're still having church here tonight, right now. If you have a need, go ahead and turn to someone and ask them to pray with you or come down to the front. Or if you know of someone who will feel comfortable with your prayers and you can go to them comfortably, then go ahead and do that. We're still going to have church. We're still going to have the Word of God, but we want to let the Holy Ghost have His way here. We want to believe God for a miracle. We want to believe God for many miracles because He's able to do it. He is willing. Let's trust in Him. Let's not be afraid to believe. Don't be afraid to trust in Him. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Full of glory, God Almighty, and we.
there's an old song. If you'd sing it with us tonight. We're standing on holy ground.
We are standing on holy ground.
Did you feel that tonight? Entertain his presence once again. Is that your cry tonight? Show me your glory, God. In surrender, I fall down. Show me your glory, God. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. As you continue to entertain his presence, you may be seated. The song says, show us your glory. Show us your glory. In wonder and surrender, we fall down. This isn't a cry that has never been cried out to God before. Moses of the Old Testament is on the mountain talking to God Almighty, and he says to God in Exodus chapter 33, verse 18, please show me your glory. What led up to this moment in Moses' life? What led up to this cry out to God? Let's explore that for a minute or two. Going back to chapter 24 of Exodus, verse 12. It says, then the Lord said to Moses, come up to me on the mountain and be there. Verse 14 says, and he said, he being Moses, said to the elders, wait here for us until we come back to you. Their nation was enslaved by the Egyptians for hundreds of years. God shows up through Moses. Crazy stuff happens. Miracles happen. And they are now on their way to the promised land. Excited. This is going to be an awesome journey. We can't wait. Land flowing with milk and honey. But put yourselves into their shoes. 3 months into your journey, and your leader just ups and leaves and heads up a mountain to talk to God. Imagine that. Imagine what they were thinking, the people were thinking and feeling. Terrified because, man, we saw the miracles, but are there more Egyptians going to come? Are they going to still chase us? We're in this place that we're not used to, and we've got so many ingrained thinkings and stuff from life in Egypt that imagine your leader just ups and leaves. We'll see you. Wait here. I'll be back. Verse 18 of chapter 4 says, Moses was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. And so it's pretty understandable that they probably were kind of freaked out. And we see in chapter 32, in verse 1, it says, now when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, you told us you were coming back. And now it's like tick-tock, like, where are you, God? The people gathered together to Aaron and said to him, come, make us gods that shall go before us. For as for this Moses guy, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we don't know what has become of him. We're freaking out. He's gone. Went on a mountain. Maybe he tripped and fell. Maybe he wasn't a good hiker, you know, didn't have the stamina. Hadn't been on a man-up adventure before, and he went up on the mountain. Great. He's probably dead. Make us an idol. Make us a god, Aaron. And check out God's reaction in the next chapter. It goes on. Aaron does that and all this mess. In verse 1 of chapter 33, it says, then the Lord said to Moses, depart and go up from here, you and the people whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt. It's kind of interesting. Like, these are the ones you brought out, not I brought out through all these miracles. No, you brought them out, Moses. I'm done. Verse 3, it says, go up to a land flowing with milk and honey, for I will not go up in your midst, lest I consume you on the way, for you are a stiff-necked people. God's like, I'm done with you guys. Just go. Just, if you want to do it, go, fine. Go do it. Have fun. Go to the promised land. That's when Moses gets alone with God and says in verse 15 of the same chapter, chapter 33, it says, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. What a statement. If you're not going to be with us, God, don't even send us on our way. Verse 18, and he, being Moses, said, this is our opening scripture, please show me your glory. Moses had talked face to face with God before. He was on the mountaintop with God now, and yet here he is saying, it's not enough. I need to see your glory. I don't want to just talk to you. I want to see your glory. The people had turned to idols. I need to see your glory. Go home and read the story. God shows up in a special way on that mountaintop and changes Moses. But several decades later, the children of Israel are at the doorstep of the promised land. Moses isn't going to lead them in to that land. That's Joshua's job now. But Moses does a recap to the people, a highlight reel, so to speak, of their journey from slavery to the promised land. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, he reminds them about the blessings of their obedience to God's instructions. And to this group of people that were exposed to the idea of over 2,000 gods that the Egyptians worshiped, to the group of people that were now going into the promised land where the inhabitants also set up idols for worship, to that group, Moses says this, Deuteronomy 7, verses 25 and 26, it says, "You must burn their idols in fire, and you must not covet the silver or gold that covers them. You must not take it, or it will become a trap to you. For it is detestable to the Lord your God. Do not bring any detestable objects into your home, for then you will be destroyed just like them. You must utterly detest such things, for they are set apart for destruction." I want to take from the first line of first part of chapter 25, "You must not covet the silver or gold that covers them," and speak on the topic tonight, uncovering idols. Uncovering idols. As many of you know, my parents were missionaries for over 40 years. I was born in the country of Greece. The national religion is the Greek Orthodox religion. And as you can imagine, there are Greek Orthodox churches all across the countryside, little village churches, etc. And I can still see that neighborhood church that my dad took us kids to one day. I don't remember the occasion, but I believe it was a field trip of sorts to experience the culture. I mean, I trust that he wasn't considering converting. I'll have to check with him. He'll be here in early June, so mid-June, so you can ask him if he was converting that day. But he's still here. Praise God. God had grace on him. But we walk in that little Greek Orthodox church, packed house. Priest had the censer, which is a golden thing that has the incense in it, has a chain on it, and he's just plumes of smoke just going over the congregation, fragrant incense smoke, and just like, what in the world is this all about? And then to my right, I still remember that he's up in the middle aisle, just droom. Maybe we'll bring that into. No, I'm just joking. But then walking into the right on the wall, I see what appeared to be like artwork, paintings of some sort, and I walk closer and I realize that it was artwork of a saint or Virgin Mary or something like that, to that effect. And I walk closer, and the front of the artwork was covered in glass. And on that glass, I saw lip prints all over. And my 8-year-old curiosity turned into 8-year-old disgust. I saw someone that day that was wearing red lipstick. Someone had some big old lips in that congregation that day. Through the COVID lens of 2022, disgusting. If we could show that picture, this is an icon. Obviously, this is not on the wall. Mine was on the wall. But this was, these pieces of art are called icons. Folks would kiss them to show their devotion or worship to that particular saint or whomever it depicted. Now, most of us have never been exposed to that kind of idol worship. In the United States, it's not common as maybe other countries or in history. In the United States, we typically don't worship statues or a picture of things that are physical representations of God. The concept of constructing a golden calf like Aaron was asked to do in Scripture doesn't necessarily compute in our culture and society in our minds. Except down in southwestern Wisconsin, where I happen to go to a gas station, if we could show that picture, I'm not sure what they're doing down there. We need to pray for southwestern Wisconsin. That's past Dodgeville. Some of you have probably seen it. It's one truck stop I randomly stopped at. I knew it was the Lord. But I digress. So when Moses said, "Don't bring those idols into your home," it was self-explanatory to the people of the day. But in our current society and culture, we have to uncover those idols in our lives. Yes, an idol is a physical symbol or representation of an object of worship, something we can physically touch. But what about the other definition of an idol that's out there, an object of extreme devotion?
And more specifically in the Christian world, I would say an idol is anything that takes a higher priority than God in our lives. We have to ask ourselves, is there anything in my life that I put more energy and resources into than I put into my relationship with God? That question takes some serious self-examination. It's not a, hey, let's identify it quick, because we have to uncover those idols. We have to dig deep to answer that for ourselves. I can't tell you what the idols may be in your life. Why? Because idols are typically covered in the natural with silver or gold. They look valuable. They don't look harmless. They appear pleasant to the eye. And there are so many things that we face week to week that aren't sin, wicked, or evil, yet with the wrong emphasis can be an idol in our lives. I was a good boy and left my phone over there. Wow. But it kind of defeats the purpose of me showing how I have my phone on me every time. But that's how much of the day, how many of you get the weekly notifications of how much daily use you spent on your phone? It's really horrible. I feel bad. But do we do this all day? Scroll, 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 scroll. Ooh, good word. I'm going to post it on it. Man, Alicia, do they ever post like good quotes from sermons on the youth? Get on it, youth. I would allow you to use your phone in church and post a cool script. I'm just joking. But how much media do we consume? There's so much media, and it can become an idol to us. I mean, looking at tracking the time is very, now this, I use my phone for work. I make calls and I do research on it. So I feel a little bit better about myself, but it's like, how much YouTube do you watch? Do we watch? How much scrolling do we do? And let's be honest, it's mindless scrolling, typically, you know, or we get all animated and make comments and get in debates and all that stuff. But what kind of media consumption? Is that an idol? Are you spending more time? I just don't have time to pray, God. Man, I'm struggling. I don't have time to read my Bible. I don't have time to get out and talk to someone about God, teach a Bible study, because, well, I'm just busy. Have you checked your media consumption? Our relationships can be an idol. I have to have that girlfriend. I have to have that boyfriend. I have to have that relationship because I'm incomplete without it. And so I spend all this time, all this energy on that thought and that dreaming and daydreaming and whatever that may all entail. A spouse can be a relationship idol. Your kids, parents, your kids can be an idol. Well, it's almost like we vicariously live through our kids. Like, I want them to do all the stuff I never did. I was a missionary kid. I didn't have access to this. So, are our kids our idols? And that everything is about them. Our jobs. Now, don't go quit your job because it's an idol. No, you need to not be a lazy bum and keep your job. But our jobs can be an idol. I'm thankful for small business owners that are here in church tonight. I honor you. I honor you for your effort to be in the house of the Lord despite the demands of a potentially thriving business. I honor you for that. But sometimes our jobs can become this source, all-consuming source where we stay to all hours. We put every effort, and it's all about the job. And again, once again, what's an idol? Something that's more devoted to than our relationship with God. It's all about the advancement. It's all about the career. It's all about that next title. And we should serve with excellence. We own our own business. We should serve our customers with excellence. And we should grow, and God will bless. But there's testing with God's blessing. Like, okay, let me see. I'm going to drop this contract in your lap. Will you still serve me? And not that he's trying to test you and, you know, be all sneaky about it, but like, you have been blessed. You have given. You have been faithful. I'm going to bless you. And there is a twist to a test in there. Will you continue to give? Will you grow your giving? Will you continue your faithfulness is a job. And I would say security can be an idol. You know, my wife was just telling me about a message she had heard about fear, and the pastor that was preaching this message referenced a, it was early on in COVID, the pandemic. And he was preaching to his church about fear and you know, we shouldn't fear, God is there. And he referenced a story about there was a, and I'm going to get all this wrong probably, but essentially a Roman king, emperor, whatever of sorts, a plague came through. We're not the first, yeah, it's novel to us and unprecedented to our lives, but the world has been through pandemics before. They've been through plagues before where millions and millions and millions and millions of people were killed on a, you know, at the end of the thing. And not diminishing COVID, but there's a sense of, well, we're the only ones who've experienced. Well, this emperor, the whole point was the emperor noticed that those who were pagans were basically staying at home. I don't want to catch this. I don't want to die. And it was like 5,000 people a day were dying at the time. And so they stayed home. But he noticed that the Christians were still out and about, despite the risk. They were out fellowshipping, doing the work of the Lord, reaching people. And yes, people were dying. It wasn't that they were absolved from getting sick and stuff, but there was this idea of, you know what, my relationship with God, the principles of Scripture were so strong that it overcame the fear of the natural. Why? Because, you know what, heaven's my home. And so, yes, be safe, be careful, but it can become an idol, the security thing. Like I'm so focused on, I'm going to read every story. No, and I'm able to debate my position, and it can be on both sides. Like I'm a freedom fighter, and yeah, and all this stuff. It can become an idol to us. You see what I mean by that? It can become an idol because it's all consuming, and all we ever talk about. Our traditions can become an idol. I lived. Many of you probably came out of traditional churches, traditional denominations. My mom grew up a Lutheran. I in Germany, where we lived, preached a message way back when and used the Cologne Cathedral, took pictures of there when we were visiting and talked about traditions and how it was dead in that church. And we say, yep, we're apostolic, we're alive. But have you ever analyzed that in your life? We have traditions here. One song, our normal tradition now, service schedule, one song, announcements, things, two songs, preaching. And man, tonight was beautiful. And I feel God has orchestrated this service. Why? Because that's what it's all about. Not saying, well, we just worship, we don't need, no, we need preaching. But we need to get an atmosphere of, this is everything. And you know what, throw my tradition, you know, you may feel good about coming to church, but is it a tradition in your life? Just because you come to an apostolic church doesn't mean that we are as dead as those who go to the Cologne Cathedral in our spirits. And only you can self-examine that and know that. I would challenge you, if you have a tradition of sitting on this side, sit on that side. Oh. If you have a tradition of sitting in the back, come sit on the front. Now, youth, okay. We'll give your space. So, front, sit on the front. The back can sit on the front or the front. We got four fronts. So, this one's empty. Anyways, if you just clap, clapping's very easy. We clap at everything. We clap at sports. We clap at, man, wow, he just downed that burger. Good job. Clapping's very, like, I love to clap to the Lord. But, man, if you're a clapper, start being a hand raiser. Why? Because maybe you're feeling awkward about it. Like, well, I'm good with clapping. That was a good song. But when you surrender, a sign of surrender, lifting your hands. Okay, God. It takes another level. If you're a hand raiser, clap. If you're a runner, stop running. If you're not a runner, run. I don't know what it is, but we can become so tradition, even as apostolics. Even as apostolics. So if you find yourself coming in and not responding to the worship, to the word of God, tonight was beautiful. That was a sweet aroma. I smelt it. And I'm not God. I smelled that like I'm like, God's pleased with this. Yeah, we're coming down to pray for our dear friends. But there was a moment of just worship. And if we had all surrendered, God would have just, okay, I'll meet every need. Yeah, you're just praying for that. No, what's your need? What's your need? Amen. Bishop threw out the concept of Bible junkies way back in the day. So focused on conferences and the Bible and learning all, listening to every Stone King message. You know what Bishop talks about, Bible junkies. That can become an idol. Oh, this person. I only get the word if it's from Stone King or Joe Blow. Well, I hope that there's a nugget you can take out of little old Phil tonight, okay? I'm just Phil. Friar Phil. Pastor Phil, whatever. I hope there's a nugget you can take out of Pastor Jerry, Pastor Peter, those who speak up here, the men's ministry that have had some of the younger guys, Bryce speaking. You know, oh, well, it's just Bryce. Come on. If he's prayed and he's sought the Lord and he's searched Scripture, my word, we can get a word. Well, I'm a linear thinker. This is me. I transparency, I struggle with those who are like, bing, boom, bing, boom. And I'm just like, man, I step, 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 step. Yes. This is my kind of preacher. Yeah, I love it. The shouting, screaming, I can't get. Well, maybe we need to just adjust ourselves and like it become an idol. What? That's spiritual matters. Yeah. Yeah, I can. I'm going to move on. 2 Corinthians 13:5. This is the Amplified. It says, test and evaluate yourselves to see whether you are in the faith and you're living your lives as committed believers. We've got to submit these areas to God and ask him to show us whether it's gotten into the danger zone. And there might be someone saying, you didn't mention my thing. Ha, I'm off the hook. You need to submit your life to God and test whether it's getting you into the danger zone, whatever that is. And someone who hasn't been mentioned, there's a specific reason I did not pick that. God's saying, well, are you going to do it or not? Amen. Sit down with a pastor or a trusted elder in the church. Lay your life out before them. Get their counsel. Maybe you just need, as a business owner, check in with someone that you trust, an elder, and say, okay, here's what my schedule looked like. Do I seem out of balance? Because sometimes when we're in it, we can't see. Maybe it's a job. Is this something, or a relationship, or media consumption? Hey, check out my media consumption. Is this too much? Am I, you know, and submit that to someone to help you analyze and give you that iron sharpening iron answer. Amen. To uncover idols, we need to identify them first. Our scripture in Deuteronomy 7 said, you must not covet the silver or gold that covers them. As I read the scripture, it got me thinking, what idols look good, but what's underneath the surface? What's our motivation? What's the reason we pour ourselves into something or someone? Isaiah 2:8 says, their land is also full of idols, and they worship the work of their own hands, that which their own fingers have made. Idols are man's attempt to solve their own problems. Some of these motivations, and again, there's so many motivations out there, but it could be fear of the unknown, and so we need something tangible. We need something tangible. And so we create an idol in our life. The children of Israel said, we don't know what happened to Moses. He's taken a lot longer than we thought. You can just hear the fear in them. So we're going to do something familiar from Egypt. Build us a calf. And you may say, well, I don't know what's going on in the future, so I'm just going to veg out and at home just scroll mindlessly at night because I don't want to think about heaven. And I don't want to think about the future, and I don't want to think about Russia and Ukraine. Not saying we should dwell on all of that, but we can just turn to an idol. Or, oh, Russia and Ukraine, I'm going to read every single story and start doing all this crazy stuff because I got to prepare. Get the iodine pills. You know, and I'm not slamming those who are maybe prepping. If that's you, cool. But is that an idol? Has it become an idol? Yeah. Yeah, buy some extra stuff. Whatever, if you want to do that, cool. If you want to stock cans in your basement, cool. But don't let it become an idol. Analyze it. Is this an idol? Am I getting so full of it? What's the motivation behind this? Is it fear? Oh, don't let fear rule your life. Don't let fear rule your life. Sometimes life can be out of control, and so we want something tangible, or we create an idol because we're not in control. So if I can control this thing that I can make in my life or do in my life, then I will feel better about myself. I'm not in control, so I'm at home, so I'm going to focus so much on my job that I don't have to. Well, it's my job. I got to support the family. Honorable excuse. Why? Because you don't want to go home. And you don't want to face the need for communication with your spouse. And the need to communicate with your kids and invest in them. I don't know. Man, if you're not doing using those with kids, using the devotional book, it's laid out for you. It's so easy to walk through that with your kids. Walk through it with them. Pour into it, and you say, well, I don't know what to... We have that resource for you. Amen. Amen. You could be, your motivation could be that you're bored or lazy. So I'm going to spend all day on video games. And just play video game, get online. Oh, I'm chatting, I'm ministering. I'm talking to folks. Okay. Well, when your gamer friend comes to church, cool. Then I will agree to a gaming ministry. And I'm not saying there's connection group, sweet. Let's start one. You know, Jordan and I and James had a connection group over video games long before it was video connection groups. But it could be just because you're bored or lazy and you don't want to get out. You don't want to do something. What's your motivation? It could be that you want to fit in or gain approval. And you have such an inner motivation that you don't feel good about yourself. And so you do things or you interact with things or you get things in your life or take actions. Why? Because you want to gain that approval. You want to fit in. You want to feel valued. Or we have to prove something. Recent video, Encanto, surface pressure. Yeah, those who've seen it. Pressure till drip, 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 till it never stops, whatever. Yeah, awesome song, fun song. But it's like that character was brawny and strong, and she felt she had to carry everything for the family. And so it was a really cool, unique aspect of how we can say, I have to prove myself. I have to show that I can do this. So I'm going to do everything that's asked of me and do so much, and all of it could be good. But if it's to prove yourself or to prove your worth to yourself or to others, and if I don't get approval and hear a job well done over the pulpit, then I'm worthless. Oh, that's a horrible motivation to live in life. And we need to reanalyze our lives and say, what is my motivation? Because God loves us no matter what we do. So don't pressure yourself to be all this. Amen. The challenge is that we can do things through our own efforts, at least for a season. We can avoid the core issues in our lives and create an idol with our own hands, but eventually someday, one day the facade will crumble and we'll realize we never dealt with the core motivation or reason why we created the idol in the first place. God forbid you avoid family, and then once your kids are grown and gone, you sit across from your spouse and like, I have no clue about this person. I'm just a roommate because I never poured into them because I was afraid or I didn't know how to fit in with the kids and all the attention given to the kid. God forbid we make that an idol and years later it all comes crumbling down. I want to reiterate, I can't tell you what is an idol in your life. You have to uncover the idols. One person might be fine with media consumption and they've got it balanced and stuff. Others, man, you start down that road, it's going to be all day, all night affair. And so you have to choose and say, I got to step away from that. I can't even have a glimpse of that in your life. I don't know. I can't speak for your life. You have to uncover the idols. I have to uncover the idols in my life. But looking at our motivations, looking under the surface will help us do just that. On that fateful day at the base of Mount Sinai, a golden calf was built. an idol was constructed and worshiped, but it was not a story that ended with a correction and let's move on. There was an impact that was felt by the nation of Israel that day. 3,000 people died because they built a calf. As we're uncovering idols in our lives and assessing the motivation in our lives, the final step in uncovering them would be to assess the impact it is having or could potentially have in our lives. Idols can impact our families or loved ones. 2 Kings 21:19 through 22. Ammon was 22 years old when he became king. Verse 20, he did evil in the sight of the Lord as his father had done. Verse 21, so he walked in all the ways that his father had walked. He served the idols that his fathers had served and worshiped them. He forsook the Lord God of his fathers and did not walk in the way of the Lord. This scripture challenged me as a dad of a 2- and a 6-year-old. What am I teaching them to pour themselves into? You know, Fiona and I have talked many times. Man, we just, sometimes we find ourselves, the kids are playing and we're just scrolling. Do they see that? And they feel that's what life's all about. And we've had to be very purposeful. And I'm not perfect at it. But we've had to be very purposeful. Like, you know, kids are awake. Let's put it down. Then when the kids are down, it's, all right, put it farther away. And honey, let's talk. I've heard that conversation, even recently, when I'm on, have my phone right there, and my brother, my good friend, texts me, and I'm talking to my wife, and like, bzz, bzz, and I'm just like, And so I'm purposeful. I sat in the other room when it's time to talk to my wife and have discussion and talk about the day and pour into our marriage. What am I teaching my kids? Gut-wrenching. Part of being a youth pastor is to watch, when I was many years ago, was to watch the impact of the decision of parents play out in the lives of their kids. Gut-wrenching. I think of Achan. Go to Jericho and all you had to do was destroy everything. But he had to get that robe. He had to get coins, gold or something like that. I think there was 3 things. Comes down and he's found out, he admits, and it just wasn't him who was killed for that infraction. His whole kids, his wife, his whole family. And God doesn't work. We're in a different dispensation. God's not going to come. Well, he might, but I'm not going to speak for God. But I don't want to see my family destroyed. Idols can impact our families. They can impact our health. They can impact our future. Idols will impact our relationship with God. Uncovering idols by identifying them, looking under the surface of the motivation that drive them in our lives, and by identifying the impact, by counting the cost. If we've uncovered idols in our lives, what do we do? We have to cry out like Moses, God, show me your glory. Take my traditions, God. And just come to church and just do the same old thing. Take my traditions, God. Take my fear. Fear of the unknown, fear of the future, fear of nuclear winter, fear of sickness, fear of job loss, fear of, take my fear. Take my attempts to control my life. Because you know what? You could lose your job tomorrow. Company can close down, man. My old job, boss's wife got a stroke, and 3 months later, it was shut down. Lost my job. It could bottom out tomorrow. You can't, no matter how much we try to control the world and our environment, things might just fall apart. No fault to ourselves. So take my need to control my attempts to control my life. Take my need for the tangible. Take my desire to prove myself. Take my insecurities. Take my desire to fit in. Show me your glory. We need an Exodus 33:15 as the Spirit, as the musicians come. An Exodus 33:15 Spirit to overtake us. If your presence does not go with me. It doesn't go with my family. It doesn't go with this church. Do not bring us up from here. Moses came down from seeing a part of the glory of God on Mount Sinai, and everyone knew it because his face shone. When God shows us his glory, our lives will be changed. If you would stand with me. The song, Holy Ground, we're going to sing it again. The bridge is an interesting way of writing. If you could show the bridge of that core or that song, Sister Jessica, Holy Ground, Bridge. The wording, it doesn't say chains will fall or chains may fall. Fear will bow in a positive light. And no, it's almost like the writer was speaking from the first person to that thing. Chains in my life fall. Fear, bow. Right now, because Jesus, you change everything. Lives will be healed. Lives healed. Hope found. Not maybe, not might. And why? Because Jesus, you change everything. Sometimes we look for the answer and we ask God to fix things in our lives. And Lord God, I'm an approval junkie, for example, and I don't feel good about myself, and so I seek that, and I pray, God, help me in this area, and help seek God. Ask God, God, I just need to see your glory, because I'm tired of feeling poorly about myself. I'm not going to feel that way anymore in Jesus' name. The need for approval, dissipate. Add your own words, whatever they are. And so tonight, as we wrap this up again, I would encourage you to do some self-reflection this week. Identify those idols. But if there's something in your life that you know is a motivation right off the bat, yeah, I've had a fear ever since I was a child because of this, this, and this. I would encourage you to come and seek the Lord and begin to speak. You know, Thompson's came up, and we love you, and we're praying for you, Thompson's. And I was up here knowing what I was going to speak about, and I said, you know what, God, I'm not going to pray for healing. I'm going to just worship you, God, because we need to see your glory. It's not my prayers for healing that will heal. And you know what? I was worshiping and praying, and people came and prayed with them. There's nothing wrong with that. But I just got this boldness, and I said, cancer, be gone. Not because of anything that I can do, but because God is in the house. And I felt God so strong. And, you know, you need to speak to your situation and just say, be gone. Job, I need a job. Job, come forth. I don't know what the terminology, but you know what you need. Health, be there. Fear, be gone. Chains, if you're bound by something, yeah, there are certain things that, yes, you need to work through, and I believe it, but my goodness, if we could get in the glory of God. And you know what? God's glory, as Moses found out, he's like, I can't show you my face, but I'll pass by you, and you look at the back of me. And just that changed Moses, and just a glimpse of God's glory in our lives. It'll change everything. It'll change everything. Just want to encourage you, it will change everything. And the idols will fall away. Why? Because there's not a secret motivation, because we're giving that to the Lord. And there might be times, effort to work through things. But if you continue to go to the Lord, I give this to you, Lord. I'm not going to fill my life with all this stuff to numb the pain. I'm going to give the pain to you and rip off the Band-Aid. I heard another quote recently about wounds, that you may still have the wound, but keep it clean. It's a powerful thought. I don't remember the context Fiona was telling me about as well. She heard it somewhere. We may have a wound still. It might be still fresh, but keep the wound clean with the Spirit of God. so that it can heal instead of letting it fester and like, I'm going to ignore this, I'm going to hide it away, tuck it under, ignore that it's there. No, God, here's the wound again. Clean it out, God. I need your healing. I need your touch in my life. Anyways, I want to get out of the way. God is going to minister here tonight, I believe. Won't you come to the front? Find a place to pray as we begin to sing the song again to show us your glory. Let that be your cry tonight. Give it to him. Maybe it's you don't have something in your mind right off the bat. Come down and say, God, what is the idol? What's the first idol in my life I need to identify and get rid of? And he'll show you. Show us your glory, Jesus. Show us your glory, Jesus.
The moment that we see you, we are changed. Show us your glory. Show us your glory. In wonder and surrender we fall down.
Show us your glory.
Show us your glory. Show us your glory.
Let every burning heart be holy ground.
Show us your glory.
Show us your glory.
In wonder and surrender we fall down.
Let's push tonight.
Show us your glory.
Let's press into the Spirit.
Show us your glory.
God, I gotta have your glory.
Let every burning heart be.
Don't send me out tonight, God, unless you're weird with me.
Not by power, it's not by might, but only by the cross we come alive. Here we're undone.
Let's start to speak to it. Let's start to speak to it.
Right.
remember to keep Pastor Roy and Sister Lois in prayer as they minister out east and as they travel home. Continue to pray for Bishop Graham for recovery and for healing. Of course, for Sister Stephanie and Sister Christina, that let's claim victory over cancer in Jesus' name. Praise God. Pray for Jackie Rivas, little baby Jacqueline, is battling illness. I'm sure many of you have needs that you're aware of that other people have. Let's continue to pray for one another. God is bringing us to a place of victory as a body. I believe that. So the more we carry one another's burdens, the greater the love of God is manifest in our lives for the world to see. God bless you. Have a great week in Jesus' name.